This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio
Free
Radio. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Coop Radio recently celebrated its 35th birthday. In order to commemorate that event, a panel discussion was held. The discussion focused both on the history of community media and also on its future. Marika Swan is the manager of Redwire Native Youth Media Society. Redwire is a native youth-led organization that strives to create uncensored spaces for community discussions, including the publishing of Redwire magazine. Here's Marika.
I wanted to come down and congratulate Coop Radio, explain a little bit about the journey that we've been on as an organization. We created this, the Redwire magazine was born out of the Native youth movement, and at the time there was a lot of young Native people that were really, really political and really, really active, and they were getting together and rallying in the streets and having sit-ins and really had a lot of energy for organizing, and they felt that they needed a place to vocalize what was going on and have open discussions about the things that are affecting our communities. And so it was born out of a small pocket of this like really awesome energy. And for many years, I feel like it's grown in a lot of ways. And as things grow, they begin to encompass a lot more than just that, you know, that radical core that we came from. But we've always stayed true to trying to create space and not be afraid of what each other has to say. A lot of times we publish things that nobody else would touch. And just allow people to, you know, rant and rave and swear and be whoever and whatever they were feeling and needed to be at the time. And after, you know, many, many years of being like, silenced and told that how you feel and your perspectives are wrong and all those kinds of things, I think that has been a really healing thing for our communities. We got sued by the U.S. Army. We were forced to print an apology, which I don't feel proud of. We've been accepting government funding for a long time, and that is a really hard line to walk. And there's a lot of compromises that we've made because of that. And it's really, really hard, because especially when you work in communities where people, it's really hard to ask for volunteer, you know, time, and people lend the time that they can, but you really need to be able to offer people, you know, paychecks and things to provide for their families and communities and stuff like that. But, you know, we've done different things to oppose what we feel like are serious threats on our way of life and our role as human beings, which is to, you know, protect the land. And we live in very contemporary times, and this is very conflicting for most of us. I feel like we're coming into a time on the planet where our biggest adversary is hopelessness. Is being able to look, you know, with clear eyes out your window and into your community and into the earth and the ocean and see what's happening and not run away scared shitless. You know, how do we deal with that? How do we sit in those emotions together? How do we understand that, you know, they want to stick a big copper mine in the middle of the most sacred place you've ever been to in your life, and it's going to ooze all these horrible chemicals and you'll never be able to get out? You know, how do you keep working together, you know, when we're all hurting and scared to hope, you know, scared to feel like there is actually something we can do about it? So I think that in order to get to that place, I feel like for a lot of the people in our community, there needs to be kind of like that open discussion, and you get angry and you start, you know, saying all these things and rash statements and I hate the government, I hate this and these people and those people and whatever, and channel all that anger and work through all that stuff together to get to a place where you may be feeling a little more balanced about stuff. The pendulum kind of arrives at this place probably later in your 20s, and you start to kind of think, well, maybe yelling at people isn't going to get me anywhere. Maybe I need to kind of work with people a bit more or something. But Redwire has been a part of creating that space for people. So You know, I think of my own experience and a lot of experience of my peers, and you grow up, and we come into a second generation. So our parents were the ones that really, really fought really, really hard to, you know, they wanted the ones at residential school, and they're the ones that fought really, really hard to have things reinstated, to have a space to practice our culture, you know, to not be ashamed of themselves and say, you know, what, we have a right to practice the potlatch, we have a right to do all these things, you know, I'm not a sheep in God's farm or whatever it is, I'm a wolf. And I'm okay with that. And we come from the generation of our parents are proud to, you know, be Indian, and then we're proud, and so we're learning our culture, and a lot of people my age and our children get to learn their language and stuff, but, you know, how do we deal with the fact that we're living in this colonized state, and, you know, our rights are being threatened all the time, and they want us to sign treaties so that we can, you know, shut up about it and everything. And my dad always tells me, you know, you chose to be born at this time. You chose to come onto the earth at this time because there was something that you felt that you needed to share. And all of us are in that position where we've chosen, I believe this, that we've chosen to come here at this time. It's a very critical time in the world. And nothing about it is going to be easy. And we're going to see horrific things. And I think that having an open space to talk about it, having an open space to laugh about it, being able to listen to each other uncensored and not shut each other down and not be afraid, you know, is part of the healing and is part of the openness. And we publish lots of things that I don't agree with at all, but I totally agree with, you know, their right to talk about it. And there's no way we're going to move forward unless we can really see how each other feels, right? And I was just thinking about, you know, 35 years and all this conflict, and I think the most important thing is just, you know, learning and also working on our ways that we deal with conflict and being okay with disagreeing with each other and learning how to, you know, debate things in an honorable way, learning how to not take things personally, learning how to have consistency and stick with things even though that they're rough and really hard to go through. So, yeah, we're no longer, just to summarize that up, we're no longer publishing the magazine, which is really, really sad, and I've been mourning it, you know, this year. I was just so devastated because, like, things like Co-op Radio and things are consistently around. People start to understand it. They start to look for it. They're, you know, people, I get all these notices about this, from my, like, teachers up north saying, you know, I've got a kid who's writing and I want to have him published. That's like, oh man, break my heart. But you got to be able to change too. And, you know, the young people weren't really reading as much anymore and they wanted to play with video and they wanted to do things like radio and stuff. So we're changing our strategies a lot. And I know that online stuff is, like, really limited. And a lot of our readership were, like, youth in prisons and youth in really rural areas where they don't have a lot of access to internet. But, you got to work with what you have, and you can't ever be relying on funding or money or anything to do anything, right? You just have to keep continuing forward, and you can only really rely on yourself and your own commitment to what you believe in, right? So I just think it's so amazing that Co-op Radio has been around for 35 years, and I've been an on and off listener, and sometimes I just get so bombarded I need to shut it all off, but I know that it's a really important place for a lot of people, and I have a lot of respect for a lot of the programs that go on, and a lot of the support that they give to the Native community means a lot. And I know there's a lot of people who have put a lot of work into Co-op Radio that will never get the thank yous that they deserve, because that's just the way it is. And I just wanted to come down and say that I really appreciate it, and I see the work that Co-op does, and I think it's really great. And congratulations.